There was another thing I saw that said maybe they were trying to quit pot. Goodbye, Gary. Goodbye, Jane.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. That's what you would get out of a frog right. fucking band. I got it. Let's go with the Mary Jane.
We've been nobody smoking way too much weed.
No, hey, guys, we've been smoking way too much Mary Jane. Yeah. I got it. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye, Jane.
This is the Epic New Podcast, Two Idiots and a List, where you're going to get two idiots and a list. And now, coming to you live from Circle Avenue Studios, your hosts, Nick Vasello and Kirik McMillan.
I guess this is our Christmas episode.
Hell yeah, it is. It's going to be quite a gift, too, let me tell you.
Yeah, we had thought of a different Christmas episode, but our schedule got messed up enough that, well, here we are. It's our Christmas episode. We are recording this the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so by the time y'all get it, it's Christmas! If this episode trends like our past episodes have been trending, this should push us over 20,000 listens.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're going to be starting our fourth year.
Fourth year of doing this?
I'm amazed the relationship has survived.
I agree. Yeah, Floyd, Zeppelin, and Alice in Chains round out our top three, but coming in at number four is Fleetwood Mac, mm-hmm. and that was our 24th episode.
A juggernaut.
Plowing through the competition.
Yes.
Oh, one quick note before I forget. We had talked about Mick Jagger and Keith Richards' net worth sitting at somewhere around $500 million. Given that he just passed, take a stab at Jimmy Buffett's net worth.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
A cool billion.
Wow.
$1 billion.
Wow, for that stuff.
Well, he also had that restaurant chain, and he had resorts. And yeah, I'm sure he sells a shit ton of paraphernalia.
Didn't we stay at a Margaritaville in Kentucky?
Missouri.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, today's episode.
Cheeseburger in Paris.
Today's episode is a nod to my oldest sister, Chanel. She had a pretty good influence on my early, early music tastes. I have two sisters. Toria, this is no slight at you, but you are much more into classical music. So I thought I would give a nod to Chanel since this is a music podcast. And these two bands were probably some of the first that I remember hearing. So today we are doing Styx. And Supertramp.
I balked immediately, but you evoked your sister's name, and I said, fine. Only for Chanel.
Yes,
she's a kind person.
This was a gift from Nick to you as well.
That's right. More than you know, Chanel. More than you know.
So, as I said, you know, this was one of the early bands. These two were early bands that I knew. That's my background on it. Do you have any history with either of these bands?
Hell yes, I do. Are you kidding me?
These were big radio bands.
Yeah, they were big radio bands. And I can't say, listen. Styx is a homegrown band for us, right? We're in the Chicagoland area, and these boys are from
Chicago
mm-hmm. right? Right. Okay, yeah. South Side. Oh, yeah.
Of exactly. course.
Yeah, South Side of Chicago, because I just recently watched a very recent interview done over Zoom with Dennis DeYoung, and he's got his Sox hat on. Oh, I'm good. Like, I knew there was something
about
fucking guy. I knew there was something about him. But yeah, they were huge. Of course, they were monstrous. And they were one of the first bands to have a heavy influence and play on MTV. We are going to dive deep into that catalog.
There are some videos out there that are priceless.
Fucking great.
For me, Supertramp, I didn't know that much about. I just knew the band. Like, I knew the music, but I didn't know anything about. I didn't even know they were British, which, as I looked at their lyrics, I'm like, how the fuck didn't you know they were British?
I knew the album cover of the woman with the waitress.
Right.
Tearing
Breakfast
Manhattan
in America.
On a plate. Yeah. I dug on that. And, of course, you know those songs. I have to say that the one song that does stick out is a Logical song.
Uh-huh.
Because that was like almost, it must have hit the airwaves right when I started to gain control of my own radio.
Yeah.
And because it was on all the time.
All the time.
And I really hated that song.
There were
back then. I just did it.
There were a lot of songs here that you listened to and you were like, oh man, this just got murdered. From both bands for sure. I know The Loop is a radio station here in Chicago. They loved Styx. They played a lot of Styx. They played a lot of Cheap Trick. Makes sense, right? Chicago
local
bands.
Guys. Well, it was Lady was the first track to really get played by WLS, actually.
Right.
Was,
and that's what broke them out.
John Records Landecker.
That's right.
Played Lady on a constant fucking loop. And they just sold albums after that, which really brings us to kind of like, well, let's save that, because that's let's do the Amuse Bouche first.
Sure.
Let's do Supertramp. Nice guys. Pretty successful band.
Yeah.
Really successful,
yeah.
Right? That those two albums, whatever they were, Breakfast in America and the one before that.
Right.
Pretty successful radio play bands. And because they were left, in that vacuum of like, Beatles broke up, Rolling Stones are, I don't know, they're broken up or they're fucking around with disco. There's nothing really on the landscape except for like Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles. And so that this is huge vacuum and like all these bands just flooded into it and just kind of like pre-MTV days. So Supertramp's kind of like got the benefit of like, well, I don't know, what are we going to play? Well, let's try this band out here.
Yeah.
And it was, they had a one hit after the other begat quite a nice career for them.
A very short career, actually.
Really short.
Very short career.
But no drama.
Well, the guy left. There was two guys that basically started the band.
But it wasn't like a fuck you, I'm out of here.
It was hard to say. It sounded like there might have been a little distaste in there. I don't know for sure. Rick Davies and Roger Hodgson are the two guys that were essentially the songwriters for them.
So what are they arguing over? It's like, wait, there's way too much clarinet in there.
There, I got a lot of different notes in terms of like, I can hear the influences from here, here, and here.
Oh, yes.
For Supertramp and for Styx. Styx was like a lot of Yes because of these harmonized vocals.
Yeah.
And a lot of Chicago for the same reason. Supertramp, to me, was a bigger mix of like ELO, Alan Parsons, and Randy Newman, because Randy Newman had that...
A lot of boppy C notes.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah, just as I keep talking you into these trashy hair metal bands that I keep letting you talk me into these prog bands. It's like, one for you, one for me.
Are these prog bands?
Oh, are you kidding me? Listen, anytime you have serpents and mystical figures on your album covers and your fucking name, Styx, it's a mythical river. But I'm just the type of guy that looks for this type of aggravation. I like prog rock. I don't like to admit that I like prog rock, and I hate myself for it. But you know what? There are certain, there's just little corners of the music world that I like to just sit.
Yeah, and
Yes is the best of those.
Of prog bands?
I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're going to argue with me.
Of course.
with Rush and everything. But for me, Yes is the best of those. But man, this is a double dip.
If you listen to like Styx and their catalog, they had some weird things. Like they got into the Mr. Roboto thing, which was a concept album. They also had like an organ fugue on one of their albums.
Yeah.
And another song that's all sung in like a caricature Jamaican accent.
Bro, the amount of hatred that is JT is the other guitarist, not Tommy Shaw. Tommy Shaw is the shrimpy guy that plays guitar, but JT is the guy that looks like Sasquatch, like a blonde Sasquatch. The amount of anger and vitriol he has for Dennis DeYoung because he got cucked by him. He's in this band with this dude. He writes Lady, and it's really a very sappy song. But that's it, man. Yeah. It's his song. And from that on, like, the whole trajectory of Styx is like, Dennis DeYoung is like, I write the fucking songs, dude. And if you don't like it, you can step the fuck off. Because this is my band now, and I'm going to write the weirdest, stupidest shit possible, and you're going to have to back me up. And JT just could not stick. He says it himself in an interview. He's like, I was an axe man. I was like heavy metal. That's where we want this to go. And there are some parts of this in their DNA, but they got completely blotted out by Dennis DeYoung because he's like, well, then I'm not playing Lady and I'm not playing Babe and I'm not doing any of the songs that everybody comes out to see. So the guy's just totally cucked on stage, singing back up and not playing his guitar to Mr. Roboto. To just see him simmering on stage.
Well, and you listen to their stuff and you're like, all right, they came out with that Mr. Roboto, but you know, the rest of their stuff is like syrupy, schmaltzy, just heartfelt, love, blah, blah, blah. They're not Air Supply though. Air Supply's worse. I put Air Supply way under these guys.
Okay, Lady, Babe. I mean, you really can't tell the difference. You put those two in a room with no lights on. There's not a lot of difference there.
On their own website, they claim that they are the first band to score 4 triple platinum albums in a row.
Yep, that's what I heard.
Grand Illusion, Pieces of Eight, Cornerstone, and Paradise Theater.
Pieces of Eight. Yeah, not even the Beatles didn't do that. Not the Rolling Stones didn't do that. They said up till that point in time.
Yeah, they were the first band.
Yeah,
the first band to do it, and that's on their website. So I'm assuming that's been verified. Otherwise, it's a pretty ballsy statement.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it in different places. I don't know what band would have done that after them. Maybe U2. I don't know.
Apparently, critics were so brutal on every release that they stopped sending copies to them to review.
Rolling Stone, Pieces of Eight, a parking lot full of whale vomit. That's when Rolling Stone was a bitch rag, dude.
That is gold. Whale vomit.
That was JT liked that one too. But he said, like, for a reunification tour, maybe when they're playing hockey on the River Styx, we'll get back together.
That's a great line.
Isn't that awesome? Well, he was like a mechanical engineer. Like, it was like, he's a really educated dude.
Yeah.
And then he just happened to be in a rock band that turned out to not be a rock band.
Well, and then DeYoung left. Like, DeYoung hasn't been in the band for years.
Dude, you can't do Mr. Roboto on a world tour and sit there and be like, yeah, let's do another one of those. Because I'm a rock and roll guy.
That song got a shit ton of airplay. A shit ton of airplay. Well, and then look at like Supertramp. You've got the two vocalists who are also the two songwriters. Mm-hmm. Neither of them maybe are as melodic vocally as Dennis DeYoung, but they had distinct voices that you can't duplicate. Like, as I listened to it, I was like, this is kind of like Colin Hay from Men at Work.
Yeah.
Like, Colin Hay doesn't have a terribly melodic voice, but you can't pull him out of Men at Work, just like you can't pull those two guys out of Supertramp.
No, I agree. I agree. And their voices aren't annoying.
No.
Dennis DeYoung's voice is annoying. It's annoying. But how much would you pay to see a Styx show in 1983 where Mr. Roboto is the album they're supporting? How much would you pay for that? To watch those guys sit, because there's no fucking music on the album. Like, there's no guitars on the album.
That's a lot of keys, a lot of synths.
Yeah, and there's a lot of backup vocals. So he has to sit there with the guitar slung over his shoulder and just sing the stupidest backup lyrics while Dennis DeYoung is out there doing some Moomin Shots theater. it's just unreal.
It is bizarre.
I love it.
It is bizarre. So Supertramp claimed that 1 in 15 Canadians owned both Crime of the Century and Breakfast in America. Crime of the Century was that other big one they had. Why they picked out Canada, I don't know. The math must have been easier. But apparently they had sold so many albums in Canada that 1 in 15, 1 in 15 owned both albums.
These Canadians have a lot of taste.
They do.
G'day, mate.
Hey, that's our second biggest market. G'day, mate. I don't remember what episode that was dropped on. You'll have to listen to our entire catalog to get that reference.
It's my calling card now.
There was a song of Supertramp that it was called Waiting So Long. They totally channeled Pink Floyd. And I'll drop a little clip in here because it's just, when I heard it, I heard David Gilmour.
That's interesting that you say that because, do you want to get into it?
Sure.
You want to get into it? Because my honorable mention, am I going out of turn here?
No, you're not. It's your turn.
I don't know. Because my honorable mention is, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, God damn, that sounds a lot like Pink Floyd. And it sounds a lot like Time. When it kicks in with drums and like David Gilmour's voice, and the song is Bloody Well Right. Huge Pink Floyd like vibes there.
Yeah.
I think I went fucking crazy for a second there, and I'm thinking to myself, did this come before Dark Side of the Moon? Could they have possibly influenced David Gilmour's sound at all? And as it turns out, much to much to my sanity, that it wasn't. Dark Side of the Moon came out 2 years before this album, whatever it was. But I almost lost my fucking mind there for a second.
That was the first song to chart in the U.S.
I like it. I like when it comes out. Like,
that's,
you know,
great.
Yeah, it's, you know, I like his voice in this. It sounds just like Gilmour almost.
The Hammond organ that starts it out is just great. The way it just noodles on it, it's perfect. I mean, it's pure 70s.
It throws you off because you don't know what's coming in the next measure. So I will give them that.
Well, and it's so British. And it's so like...
Quite right.
Yeah, right. I mean, the song is called Bloody Well Right.
Yeah, right.
Which apparently the Brits didn't love at first. This didn't chart in the UK.
No.
Apparently the Brits didn't like the fact that they were saying Bloody Well Right because it almost looked like they were taking a shot at the British people.
Yeah, well, the Brits got to get over themselves.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, they don't even like their own acts, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you that my entire list is nothing but guilty pleasures, so just strap in for the ride.
Already disclaiming it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I disavow all of this.
Yes. Strap in for the ride.
We're not going to have a repeat of Hall & Oates.
No. So my honorable mention is from Styx off of their album Equinox in 1975. The album cover is ice on fire. And the song is Lorelei. I call her on the telephone. She says be there by 8. Tonight's the night she's moving in, and I can hardly wait. Know this one?
I don't believe I've ever heard it.
It could be that I knew this because of my sister, or I got it from the radio, or both. I don't know. It's a very bouncy, upbeat song. It's not overly sappy in the music. Now, the lyrics are pure sap. Mm-hmm. But the song has a good kind of lilt to it. It's super bouncy. The keys are good. And, you know, Dennis DeYoung does things like Dennis DeYoung does. He pronounces words like celebrate. He's like celebrate. And I don't know, whatever.
I mean, you know.
It's a very grandiose ending. A little more of that proggy aspect that you're talking about. They love big endings.
It's like Prague opera sometimes.
Yes.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Lorelei is the name of a German fairy who killed herself when her lover died, and apparently she haunts ships that pass through this channel. It was hard to say whether whether or not.
I mean, that's why I love Prague. Right. It's like, you know, it's mushrooms, oh, or it's, yeah, weed, right, or it's, yeah, both.
Let's pack this bong and make music. So that's my honorable mention.
That's funny, man.
What is your number five?
All right. Starts out with a good chunky organ. Right? Riff is smoking solo. Like, this is what JT had dreamed of. Blue Collar Man.
It's great.
Right? Tommy Shaw, full-throated, you know, anthem for the people.
Yes.
Gotta be. Give me a job. Give me some security. Yeah, I love it. But I do. I like that organ. That's a cool.
Oh, it's such
organ.
I had that as a coolest 4 seconds.
Yeah, right?
That intro. Like, I don't know how they got that sound, but it works. Great intro. Shaw's vocals are really good. I like him on the mic.
He's the only type I like. Sixes with Shaw singing. It's the only song on the set list that JT eyes first. He's like, where's Blue Collar Man? Because that's when I really get to rip it out.
I can,
and then I got to go back to singing.
I can.
No more arigato.
Yeah, I like that song. That song was a real throwback, as so many of these were. That song got a lot of airtime, too.
These bands don't get any. I mean, first of all, who listens to the radio anymore?
Right.
And, like, yeah, these things are just lost the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like the purpose of the podcast almost.
Absolutely.
Like, songs are lost the time.
All right, that brings me to my number five, a song that was badly, badly overplayed. But as I listened to first I was going to say, no, there's no way it's going to make the list. And I kind of came back. I'm like, all right, I better listen to this before I say that. And I'm listening to it. And then I looked up what the song was about. And I thought it was kind of a cool writing concept. The song is Take the Long Way Home.
Oh, okay. This is my number one.
Then we will table that.
I thought you were going some different direction. But
nope.
That's the joy of doing two bands.
Yep.
Of mediocre talent. Anything can pop up anywhere.
Well, then we will go back to that.
Yes, let's do that.
Later. So what is your number four?
All right, you're like, your intro to the last song could have been like my intro to this song. I was like, there's no way it could be on the list because it's so, you know, ham-handed. The way everybody sings. But it's a great sing-along. It's Come Sail Away.
That's my number one.
There you go.
No. Sorry. My number two.
Oh, we'll table that. We can table it.
So. All right. Okay. That brings us to my number four.
Right.
You've already taken a stab at it, and that's okay. It's Lady. I love everything about this song.
Go ahead, explain.
The opening piano with the weird pitch bent synth and the triangle to start.
That's like the siren song in the background. Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, they start to build layers on it. The instruments coming in the second verse. And I know the song kind of speaks to my prog roots.
Oh, yeah, it sure does.
It's super proggy. The marching rhythms in the later chorus. It's hokey as fuck, but
If you are interested to know whether Dennis DeYoung can sing this song still, I will point you to the YouTube interview done last year with the 74-year-old Dennis DeYoung, where he belts out a cappella, "Lady, no one else sings like me. No one else can do what I can do." It's like, yeah, actually, there's about everybody can do what you do. It's not that hard. And here's the thing about the Styx songs. Every one of these goddamn songs, they start out with this, like, you know, the tinkling of the keys.
Right.
It's just fingering warm, you know, warm exercises his fingers. And he's just like, you know, and then turn on the synth and we'll just do a synth chord. It's like, that's not special.
No.
He's not classically trained.
No, he's noodling.
He's a jive-ass turkey from the South Side who got in good with a couple of guys who play guitar. Who lived down the street from him.
So there was an episode of The Simpsons where Homer ends up in hell for some reason. And he wants to go home, and he's told he has to cross the river Styx. And they cut to a scene of him floating on the river with Lady playing in the background. Yeah. And he goes, "Oh, this is truly hell."
Yeah, that's hell.
"I'm going home. Which way to Ithaca?"
"It's not so easy. You must go through Hades, crossing the river Styx."
I give Styx credit for taking the pot shot on that. That was pretty funny.
I don't think they have a choice, man.
All right. What is your number four?
The number four that I had was
That's right. Sorry. So, what is your number three?
I'm speeding through this stuff. Number three. All right. Well, if you want to know what cocaine sounds like, I have the song for you. It starts out with the ticking clock and then the organ that is like almost like your heartbeat when you get the first blast. And then you got Tommy Shaw coming in and speaking a mile a minute. "Well, I'm sitting on this bar too. I'm talking like a damn fool." I love this fucking song. It's awesome. The video was great. "Too Much Time on My Hands" was probably one of the videos that I like sought out the friend. Like, I want to see that video again because it's so cool. And he had a satin green jumpsuit that he would bounce around to.
With that awful hair. Tommy Shaw had the worst hair.
Just dishwater blonde hair that has been washed in 4 days.
And it was like a mullet that wasn't quite at a mullet. It was long in the back, and it had it wasn't shaved on the sides, but it just something about it was wrong. He had bangs.
It was just like Styx is. It's like dime store rock band.
Yeah.
Like just not quite very there yet. Like they're always just, it's a little something off there. Like the JT, the guy, the really tall guy in the white satin jumpsuit behind Tommy Shaw, he also was a little off too because his beard was all patchy and shitty looking.
They were not a handsome band.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't even tell you who the drummer is. I have no idea.
No.
I don't even know if they had a drummer.
Right.
But I love this song. It's a great tune. I have written down here, it's like the hot irony and regret dripping from his tongue. Like he's a success and he's made it. But what does he do with his fame and riches? He wastes his time bullshitting with all of his friends and wasting time. Now that's what a rock and roll life is. That's success in a rock and roll world, I guess.
Sure. This, coming from the same guy who sang Blue Collar Man. I'm trying to be a blue collar man while I make $1 million playing the guitar.
Yeah, and Rockin' in Paradise.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, another anthem for Blue Collar Man. Goddamn.
All right.
I can't make sense of this band.
That brings me to my number three. We're going to go with Supertramp, and the song is Give a Little Bit.
Give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of your time to me. See the man with the lonely eyes, oh, take his hand.
I think it's just a pleasant song. Hodgson is the one who wrote the song, and he's saying, reach out and show you care. And he said it's a song that inspires people to give a little bit, not give a lot, just a little, and see how it feels. Mm-hmm. And he closes each show with it to unify the audience. And yeah. I thought, and he said my whole show, because Hodgson now tours on his own.
Right.
And has ever since 1984, I think he left Supertramp. I think that's what I saw.
Right.
They kind of said, we're not getting back together again. It's just not going to happen. So he's been touring since then, sort of on and off. He took a break, raised his kids, actually played with Ringo Starr in his all-star band for a little bit, and then went out on a solo, you know, series of solo tours. And he says, my whole show is about trying to bring people together. Seems like a pretty cool dude, pretty down to earth.
Well, like I said, Supertramp, not, I think this is life got in the way of their band, maybe, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was not like sticks, like when like, hey, Dennis, we're going to go out on tour because we need to make some money. No, I don't feel like it. I'm sick. Quote unquote, I'm sick. He's like, well, we're going to go out anyhow. And then he sues his own fucking band for the rights to use sticks. And
yeah.
It's like,
no, I agree.
Couldn't have worked that out on the back of a napkin, you prick.
I agree. I think Supertramp was far more cohesive than Styx was, and for whatever reason, and a lot of it sounded like he just kind of wanted to raise his kids.
Yeah. You can file this under the Who Cares file, but Dennis DeYoung and Supertramp actually were on an episode of Canadian Idol in 2010 together.
Get out of here. Together.
Again, who cares? Moving on.
You know, Dennis DeYoung, I heard a quote from him. Mm-hmm. He said, what I hope you do is listen to my tale and find yourself in my story. People think it's about them. It isn't. It's about me.
Oh, that's 100% Dennis DeYoung. This is my world. You're living in it.
Right.
And he's not just talking about the performance, by the way. It's like if you bump into him at the Jewel, like it's my fucking world. You're living it. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm Dennis DeYoung.
Speaking of which, as I was researching this catalog, I was working on a proposal for work, and I'm pretty sure some of the lyrics made it in there.
Like what? What could you possibly put?
Well, the approximate consumption of liquid nitrogen for freezing the pizzas is, oh mama, I'm in fear for my life.
That would only carry off if you could do that in the proposal. Like, you'd close them in the room with that shit. And then have me come in. Yeah! That guttural sound from him is like all of his frustration.
Yeah, he's so pissed.
Fucking guy.
All right. That brings us to our fantasy concert lineup.
All right.
And we got, this is fertile ground, baby.
This is good stuff, too. Yeah. We're going to have some fun with this one.
Who is playing at your fantasy concert?
All right, I'm up.
Sure.
Listen, if we're going to do a prog route, we're going to catheterize the whole audience, and we're going to go all the way up to the bladder. All okay. Right? It's going to hurt, but the relief will be relief that you feel will be fucking fantastic, okay? So we're going to bring out the real proggers.
Okay.
I want to see Yes. The roundabout,
the words will make you out and out. Spend the day away. Call it pony, driving through the sun and in and out the valley.
And I want to see early Yes.
Old Yes, not the last two albums.
Time out, because the last two albums hold a very special near and dear place for us, both of us together.
They do. They do. However, you called those for the Rush episode, so I'm going to force you to call the early albums then instead.
All right. Now, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I got a bone to pick with you. All right. Now, I'm going to jump off topic here for just 1 second. But the way you cornered me into taking Creed as my fantasy concert lineup, I'll never forgive you for that. I will never forgive you.
I will not allow a repeat on a fantasy concert lineup. You tried to repeat it.
You're enforcing made-up rules that have nothing to do with anything else just to fuck me. You put me on the spot, and I completely froze like a deer in the headlights. And I only reverted back to like, well, what can fuck him harder than he's doing it to me right now? I'll make you listen to Creed. Now, I've spent 4 years, or the better part of 3 years, building up credibility with my audience. It has all been destroyed now.
And oddly, that part of the episode was cut. You couldn't hear that
yeah,
I had
told you. Yeah, weird how that happened. Yeah.
It's strange how the scissors got to that one.
So the morality police already called off limits to 90125, which is fine. I didn't want them anyhow because that's rock and roll, yes, and I like rock and roll, yes. Prog, yes, I want to hear roundabouts and all the other. I think that's the only one they said. But that's a long enough song where I can go with. But then I want to see Asia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, heat of the moment.
One thing led to another. We were young. And we would scream together songs unsung. It was the heat of the moment. Telling me what my heart meant. The heat of the moment. Showed in your eyes.
Is that Wakeman or Howe or aren't they from? It's this is one of the satellites of Yes.
Is it? I didn't realize those guys made it into that.
Yeah, well, let's do our research better next time. But that's the Prog lineup. Okay, so I'm going to do the Prog lineup of Yes.
Is Asia Prog?
Come on, dude. Yeah, of course.
Are they?
Have you seen their album covers? It's a dragon or a serpent coming out of the ocean. I told you, whenever you have like mythical creatures in your fucking album artwork.
All right.
If you're not Eddie, you're Prog.
Okay.
And listen, you could make an argument that Iron Maiden is Prog rock.
You could. Absolutely.
Power Slave.
Prog metal.
It's Prog metal. And all right, so I need to redeem myself.
Okay.
And I cannot. I have to wash my brain of all the Prog. And I want somebody who is traipsing the earth at the same time that Mr. Roboto was. And so I thought to myself, like, well, who is it in that world, that universe, who would really kick the shit out of Dennis DeYoung if, like they bumped into each other backstage and there was, like, a tussle over the smoked salmon station at the... These things I create in my head. It's Billy Idol.
I give you all.
And I want the Billy Idol. I don't want, I'll take Rebel Yell, but I want Flesh for Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Face to face, and back to back. You see and feel my sex attack. Say it! Flesh! Flesh for Fantasy.
Great song.
Fucking great song.
Great song.
I want that. I'll take a little bit Eyes Without a Face, too.
Eyes Without a Face, also good. White Wedding was a little overplayed.
No, overplayed. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
But Eyes Without a Face, yeah. That was good. That was good music.
Oh, Eyes Without a Face, I love it.
It's easy to deceive. It's easy to tease. But hard to get released. Eyes without a face. Eyes without a face. Got no human grace. Your eyes without a face.
And Flesh for Fantasy.
Flesh. That's so great. Now that guy had a voice like he's like sold it. Like he is actually a very nice guy. When you get him off stage, he's the nicest, intelligent guy. He's well spoken, but he's got a stage persona that's like, you know, he'll kick your ass. Dennis DeYoung is a prick on and off the stage. Like he talks down to his audience when he's on the stage. I'm like, okay, that's my show now.
I like it. I like it. All right, I have I've got a few I think you might like too. And I was going to go with two, but since you went with three, I'm going to go with three, too. So this is a band that I think you like about as much as I do, and it's the Little River Band.
I knew that you were going to pick it, so I didn't. I knew it. Fuck yeah.
What a musical collection. It's just so good. And you can name any number of songs, and I'll probably drop more than one in here, but the one that really hits me in the heartstrings is Reminiscing. I love Reminiscing.
Yeah, that's right, man. We'll go dancing in the... I love that. Yeah, you know what? Little River Band is fucking good.
It's fantastic. And they rolled through here recently, and we didn't see them, and I'm disappointed.
How did that happen?
Right there. I think they were playing the Four Winds in Michigan. Is that Michigan? I think it's Michigan. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. All right, so Little River Band's going to do their thing.
Yeah, and talk about a band lost to time. Like, nobody knows who the fucking Little River Band is.
Right. Bring so... They roll off of there, and then we're going to go with a little Greg Kinn.
Conspiracy album.
Oh. So Greg Kinn, for those of you who don't know, his last name is K-I-H-N. His albums include Contagious, Continued, Conspiracy, and of course, Rock and Roll. What a douchebag.
What a cover.
He had a couple of really good tunes, though. One of them was the breakup song.
Yes, I love that. I knew he wrote a different song than Jeopardy. That I like the breakup song. That's good.
But the coup de grace,
they don't
write
them like that anymore.
Jeopardy.
Song.
Jeopardy, it's fucking great.
Because, you know, I can't get Weird Al Yankovic.
It's got such, yeah, you got to pull that out of your head, but it's got such a great, like, dirty funk to it. You know that greaseball Greg Kinn is up there just moving it.
Oh my God. Greg Kinn, man.
And then we're going to close. We're going to close with a guy who I really only need to hear one song from, but it's a great one. I had played it when you and I were cocktailing at one point fairly recently, and you're like, oh, I forgot about this song. And it is Manfred Mann's Earth Band, and the song is I Came For You.
Yeah.
I've broken all your windows and I ran through all your doors, and you were mad to ask you to fight my wars. You should know that's true. You should know.
That might be top five.
It's a baller tune.
It's so you could play that whole song and I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't be mad at him.
His love is unconditional.
Oh, my God.
He broke all your windows, and he ran through all your doors. That is Shakespearean, man.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, he saw, like, just... I don't know where those lyrics came from. I crawled into your ambulance.
Your pulse is getting weak.
I love it.
Oh, it's
such a great tune.
Such a great song.
Yeah, Man for Man, because most people are like, that's Blinded by the Light.
Revved up like a deuce, by the way, are the actual lyrics. Everyone thinks it's rolled up like a douche because that's what he sounds like.
It makes no sense.
But it has to do with a car.
Yeah, deuce. Yeah. Deuce coupe.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to our number two.
I love that.
And
man.
I think, did I call your number two? No, you called mine. It's yours anyhow.
Yeah.
So you go.
Yep. Okay. But these guys must have ripped off like a marching band bus going down to the big game, because they use every fucking brass and woodwind instrument they could possibly have.
What's the song?
Breakfast for America.
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got. Not much of a girlfriend, but never seemed to get along.
Sorry, Breakfast in America. Not Breakfast for America.
It's about feeding the hungry. That's all right.
I have a long preamble. You were just looking over your glasses like,
well, you
what's
had,
the song?
You had called a difference. I got messed up on no, that. Go ahead.
It's a great song. Bouncy, poppy.
Yep.
A lot of brass.
Take a look at my girlfriend.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, he does start off talking shit on his girlfriend. I don't know what that's all about.
Not much of a girlfriend. Yeah,
but, you know, he makes up with it with, could we have kippahs for breakfast?
That's right. Mummy dear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, where else can you get a clarinet solo?
Oh, the tubas and trombones in this are awesome. It's like watching a polka band.
What's the big stand-up to us? So the oofophone or something like that?
A euphonium?
Euphonium, yeah. I wasn't
or an oofophone.
That's some Dr. Seuss. But I think I hear one of those, like, bomb.
Oh, it's totally. It's like a polka band.
I love it.
It's great.
It's a great song. It makes me happy when I hear it.
Yeah. I have written here, are they singing in another language? Because at one point, you're like, what is he saying?
Yeah. And I like, it's very kind of New Orleans feel to it when they get into the clarinets. Like, he like really gets into the clarinet.
Really gets into it.
And that clarinet just goes off.
It just rolls. They're good with the wind instruments. I think they do well with the sax. They do well with the clarinet. They're pretty good.
And they mix it with the oompah shit, which I like too.
All right. This is what I thought we were talking about. Number two, my number two is Come Sail Away.
Yeah. Go for it, man. Because I have thoughts, and I'm sure my thoughts aren't what your thoughts are.
But we'll try best that we can to carry on.
When I think back to being a kid and my sister is spinning records on our old record player, this is one of the ones that I remember coming out of the record player. And so this is where I kind of come back to when I think of Styx. It starts out with that little minuet piano.
Yeah, it's like a little, you know, music box.
Yeah. It's very motivational. We'll try the best that we can to carry on.
Yeah.
I even like the like ethereal keyboard breakdown in the middle. And it goes into like a syncopated guitar. Yeah, they get into the proggy shit.
Yeah.
Apparently their promo guy would bounce around from radio station to radio station offering blow for airplay. That shouldn't come as any real surprise given the time that these guys were in it, but he actually talked about it in an interview. And apparently
you got a good connection, man. You could be a rock and roll band.
Yeah, right? I mean, apparently he called the program directors penguins since they'd follow him around because he had cocaine.
What a fucking great country this used to be.
All right. That brings us to
I mean, I have things to say.
Oh, you've got things to say. I'm sorry. Yeah. Please, don't let
me. Listen, I'll suffer through the sing-along opening part just to get to that ripping Guitar Hero part in the middle or the end of it.
It's good.
And they better have a fucking kick-ass light show to go along with that, too, man, because you can just say...
This song was really popular for us in college.
Was it?
It would play at bars a lot, especially during closing time. I have no idea why.
I have no recollection of that.
Yeah,
Probably because it came at closing time.
But it was a great sing-along song. Because everybody knows the fucking words to it. Like, I asked Vincent, like, I was playing it today for him, and he's like, yeah, we know that song. I know that song. I was like, why would you ever know this song?
How would you know that song?
Yeah, I know, right. But, like, that's where my recollection of it comes from, is, like, in college. Because when you're, you know, you're drunk off your ass with a bunch of people that you like singing this song, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's why I like the song.
It's good.
It's cool. It's cool. But if you watch the video has a lot of live shots intercut, and I guarantee you this, Dennis DeYoung wishes with every wish he has ever had that he was fucking Freddie Mercury, because he moves just like him. Like, on the live version of this Sail Away, like, he's at the piano, and then when the guitar part comes, just like at Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie rips the mic out of the stand, and he goes up and he does his big, you know, his big Freddie Mercury shit. Dennis DeYoung does the exact same fucking thing, and he ain't Dennis DeYoung. He ain't Freddie Mercury.
No, he's not.
He wouldn't be Freddie Mercury's toe clippings.
No, for sure. All right, that brings us to your number one. I believe I already called it.
You already called it.
And it is... Take the Long Way Home.
Every pre-chorus and chorus, every time it's a little bit different. The melody is really cool when you have this swelling strings into the chorus. And it's like told in three acts. The first one, your wife thinks that you're part of the furniture. It's kind of like you're nothing special.
Wallpaper.
Yeah. Then the second act is you have this, you know, the stunning adoration of thousands of fans. And you might lose your fucking mind a little bit with that. And then the last act, which is my favorite, is the one where he looks back at his life, at the catastrophe that it's come to, and what are the things that he had sacrificed for all that. And as much as an up song as this is, like, those lyrics are really, really, like, kind of sad. They're almost, they're very reflective.
Well, I had written here, have you ever taken the long way home before?
But see, that's where I'm trying to connect like this arcway. So what is your The Long Way Home? What does that mean in the context of those three things?
Here's what I found on a couple of different spots. The concept is you're someone who thinks you're the cat's meow, mm-hmm. but nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being that if he takes the long way home, he'll have more time to believe the fantasy. So it's all around like someone that is not being accepted the way they think they are or should be. And, you know, he talks about the joke of the neighborhood and his wife thinks he's part of the furniture.
Right.
So he's not the super cool dude that he thinks he is. And so he takes the long way home because it allows him to fantasize that that's reality.
All right. So let's take a little time with this song here. In the first stanza, he is the joke of the neighborhood. He's just some asshole. His wife, you know, kind of looks at the couch and is like, oh, you blend into the couch there. You're just kind of like a goof. You're a nobody, right? And then in the second stanza, he is the adoration of thousands of fans. He's made it. Obviously, he's talking about himself or somebody in his position.
Right.
And then his wife thinks, you know, you might be losing your sanity, and your wife thinks you're fucking crazy because of the shit that you're, you know, look what you're doing. Maybe they've had some struggles with, you know, alcohol and drugs. I don't know. I didn't see any of that. I didn't get that read off. Maybe you're just an asshole because you're a star now. And then the third stand is like looking back now, your life is a fucking mess because of these things. And you look back with a ton of regret. You know, then it goes into take the long way home. And I can only mean to think this like, well, I don't know. Maybe you, that's where it confounds me.
Right.
Like, I can't make sense of that. But I do like the progression of all of that. And the fact that they rhymed a catastrophe.
That they rhymed?
Because I'm thinking catastrophe. I'm like, geez, how are you going to make your way out of this? Like, the only thing they rhymed with was like apostrophe.
Oh.
No, they just did has to be.
Oh.
Joke. It should have been a bigger laugh, but
it's this song got a lot of airplay.
And, I like it though.
That's where I was like, I wonder, do I even want this in the top five? And then I listened to it and I'm like, holy shit, this is a good tune.
I came across this song right at like our senior year in high school, and there's just a lot of hard truths in that song. Like if I listen to it deeply. Like,
well, and that's why I said, did you ever take the long way home? Like, has there ever been a point where, because I know when I was in high school and things weren't necessarily going so well because I was not getting along with my parents, like,
I don't want to.
Maybe I'm
going to
drive around the block a couple of times because it's just going to delay me walking in the door, so I don't have to face whatever it is I have to face, which I've largely caused myself.
That makes a lot of sense, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, but that's why I like the song so much too, because I tried to avoid a lot of the shit that you caused as a young man.
Yeah,
right. You want to take a responsibility for anything?
Right.
Fuck that. Well, anyhow, I when I listened to it, because again, I hadn't heard this song in years and years and years, and I'm like, oh man, I knew I listened to this song multiple times in a day, like, you know, it going through.
Oh yeah, if you're feeling kind of melancholy, it'll stroke that in.
Yeah. So I really liked it. I really liked it.
Now this is 100% internet detritus, but I'm going to call it out anyhow because it made me laugh. Apparently, Supertramp turned down a rather lucrative offer for Greyhound to use it.
Wow.
Which, to me, makes no sense that Greyhound would market their transportation system as the long way home. Well, but it still made me laugh. So I'm gonna throw it out there with the caveat that it's most likely not true.
Have you ever taken a Greyhound bus?
No.
A trip around the block would be the long way home. I mean, it is fucking misery.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
All right. That brings us to my number one. You've already called this out as well. And it is The Logical Song.
There are times when all the world is fear. The questions run too deep for such a simple mind. Won't you please tell me what's in love? I know it sounds absurd. Please tell me.
I think the poetry in this song is great. Victim of overplay? Absolutely. But I think that the poetry in the song is great. Watch what you say. They'll be calling you a radical, a liberal, fanatical, a criminal. His vocals get pretty high in parts. He had some decent range. The song is Hodgson's criticism of education. Quote, they teach us how to function on the outside and be intellectual, but don't tell us how to act with our intuition or our heart, or give us an explanation of what life's about. And that's where the line, please tell me who I am, is born from. And I think he was kind of playing off the same concept that Floyd was playing off of with Brick in the Wall. We don't need no education, et cetera, et cetera. There's a couple of great sax solos in here. It's still in the 70s phase. It's not, as you said in the previous episode, tootie.
Now, this sax solo is good. I have it written down here. The sax solo is really good.
And the sax plays parts throughout the song, little, you know, snippets here and there. Yeah. It's good.
It is good. It's meaty. After he calls himself a vegetable.
Right? Well, and when you know what it's about, you go, oh, wow, I guess a lot of the lyrics make a hell of a lot more sense now. I did find a version of the song from a German techno band called Scooter. It's pretty much what you'd expect from a German techno band covering a Supertramp song.
Four leather-clad eunuchs dancing around.
Germany does represent one of the top 10 in our market.
On the Dieter Brock show.
All right, that brings us to our most hated. Well, I think it's pretty safe to say Mr. Roboto's up there.
Here's what what do you have written down for Mr. Roboto? Because I'll tell you what I've got written down. Might be the worst song of the century. This is such an affront to everything. This, the cultural, I mean, the appropriation going on here. But here's a serious song. All right, here's a serious question. Did Dennis DeYoung have it right? Did he predict the future?
It's
my brain, IBM.
It's so stupid. Okay. That it's hard to give him that sort of credit. Now, the story behind it is he was writing about being imprisoned in a prison that was like manned by robots, and he was a laborer in this prison, and he takes over a robot and like puts on the robotic shell so that he can get out.
He can escape. Yeah. I think I began to read the same interview. And I got about four sentences into his explanation, and I said, I don't give a shit
what
he thinks.
I don't fucking care.
I don't care where this came from. I can see it in the end product, and it's garbage.
It's garbage.
It's garbage.
And the song was so popular. It got played all the time.
It was the video. The video was
that what drove it?
Extremely popular, yeah.
Because it was a stupid video.
It was dumb.
I just watched it. They're all carrying him around, and it's like, what is this? It's the strangest opera I've ever seen.
Fucking Chewbacca. This fucking he's waiting by this time where he popped this guy's head off. I kick him down the stairs and call it an accident.
Yeah, as I was thinking about the catalog coming up on us doing this, me having talked you into doing this, I was like, I think I know right off the bat without even listening to the rest of the catalog what the stupidest song from Styx is. And it's Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
I also had It's Raining Again by Supertramp.
When I heard the opening sax of It's Raining Again, I wanted to drive into a drainage ditch.
Awful. Awful.
Holy shit.
It's so sing-songy. And then at the end, they come in with the It's Raining, It's Pouring segment. It's like, what
I didn't even get that far.
What you doing, guys?
I didn't get that far because they didn't even have neither the courage nor the inclination to finish the fucking song. It like ends halfway through and they're like, they just repeat the same goddamn song again. Yeah. Like, the song is like 2 minutes long. It's awful. It's a terrible song. But they didn't, they knew it was terrible. They're like, all right, we're done with this. Let's put that on a loop and just send it out the door. Next.
Well, I'm sure your list extends beyond those two. What do you have to add to that?
I don't like, it's the number one song on my list, but I don't like the way the Long Way Home ends. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on.
Well, now, he's now taking the long way home.
With the revelation that you've just pointed out, it makes sense. But I said, should have been just a snare shot in silence. Just, you know.
Like a self-inflicted gunshot wound?
Well, you know, it's artistes. Gotcha. It's open to the imagination.
Gotcha.
And listen, did you dip into the 90s sticks when Denis Dion came back?
I don't know that I got that far through the catalog. Mm.
So they're the one, there's one of these 80s, 70s, and 80s bands who tried their, you know, tried to go up against the grunge audience of the 90s. And they released an album, I want to say it was like 94, 95 or whatever. And this song called Show Me the Way.
And I keep on.
Actually charted in 95, and it is drivel, garbage lyrics, same shit that they've been writing, crossing rivers and climbing mountains and all this other garbage, but they put absolutely no thought into it at all, and it's a horrible song, and it's awful.
And they're trying to go up against Nevermind and 10, yeah, like, Super Unknown.
I don't even think it was as good as 311. Amber. Old proggy bass.
That
there.
Is a good song.
You got it, man.
In fact, we're going to drop a little bit of that right now.
Facts.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy.
They also did, so they must have been, I think Tommy Shaw did have a cocaine problem at one point or another.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they were in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the entrance fee. But Too Much Time on My Hands, I didn't even know what album it was on. It was weird because I started, like, when I started on my research, like, even, like, I'll just, like, what are the albums that they made and what are the years they are? So I can put them into context. I didn't do that with any of it.
Right.
Because I can't.
No.
It's Too Much. Styx had, like, seven albums before, like, they broke up. Like, and then they broke up in 1983 after Mr. Roboto because Chewbacca had enough. He's like, fuck it, done. I don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't need the money anymore. Fuck you guys. On that album, not the Roboto album, but the album with Too Much Time on My Hands, was also another really ham-handed attempt at criticizing cocaine use. And it was called Snowblind.
How did I ever...
I remember that.
Yeah. Lyrics like mirror, mirror, and lines, you're so fine. It's just shit like this. Just lazy writing.
Right.
It's lazy.
Be a little more creative, perhaps.
Yeah, come on. Like, you know, it's not like The Weeknd. Like, I can't feel my face when I'm with you. Now, I like that. You see? That's cocaine for you. I can't feel my face.
I know it's here.
Yeah.
All right. Coolest 4 seconds.
I mean, I like the organ sound that Supertramp gets on Breakfast in America, that all that it's I don't know, it's like a hollowy kind of organ sound. They use it in a lot of different songs. A good example is in Goodbye Stranger. I hate that song too, by the way, Goodbye Stranger, but the actual organ sound that they use, I like that sound. Maybe that's why I like those Supertramp songs from that album.
Goodbye Stranger is about one night stands, by the way.
Yesterday, I was up before the dawn, and I
really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle, like a queen without a throne. I'm an early morning lover, and I must be moving on.
Just leaving you with that little nugget.
I mean, you know, explain that to me.
Goodbye, stranger. It's been nice. Hope you find your paradise.
Again, I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's like, I don't know. I just, yeah. Those lyrics are working like they were half asleep written lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, goodbye, stranger. It's been nice. Hope you find your paradise. You know, it's like, you know, very sing-songy, like, I don't know. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye, Jane. Will we ever meet again?
Well, and there was a... Yeah, the rhyming of that was a little ham-handed.
Yeah.
But the there was another thing I saw that said maybe they were trying to quit pot. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye, Jane.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. That's what you would get out of a frog fucking band, too. I got it. Let's go with the Mary Jane.
We've been nobody calls way it too that much ever. Weed.
Yeah.
No. Hey, guys, we've been smoking way too much Mary Jane. Yeah. I got it. Goodbye, Mary. Goodbye, Jane.
I stumbled on this song. Never heard it before. It was from Styx. It was called Krakatoa. It's an awful song. Really weird, dystopian song.
Say no more.
But there's this, you know how when you go to the movies and they would put the Dolby logo up and, yeah. and the chords would converge to mm-hmm. come together, bend up into the final chord? They do that in a pretty grandiose way. And then they go into the hallelujah chorus. Now, these assholes are eating their own cereal way too much. So we're not going to allow that. So I'm going to fade it out right as they go into that. But I don't know. For some reason, it caught me. I'm like, oh, that's pleasing. So I'm going to use that as one of my coolest 4 seconds.
We'll be rocking to paradise. That song.
No, we're not.
Was supposed to be like Dennis DeYoung's anthem for his neighborhood. Like their South Side, you know, I guess he's Italian, but South Side, you know, working class bedroom community, Chicago suburbs, whatever. And that was his song to like the working. Can you imagine a steelworker in Chicago singing
Dancing
Rockin'
to Rockin' the Paradise?
Or the other one, you're like, tonight, we'll make history.
But I know. If the world just passed us by, baby, I know I wouldn't have to cry, no.
The best of time, I'll bet I'm alone with you. Some rain, some shine, we'll make this.
Can I tell you?
Honey, you and I
mean, that Rockin' to Paradise sounds like it was cut from Grease 2. Because it's the same type of, like, shitty vibe of a, like, a, just a sausage and egg sandwich on a fucking, it's awful. Just awful. I would have more respect for them if they did do the soundtrack in Grease 2.
I have also the intro to Renegade.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting into my running and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone. Hangman
is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Because
yelling, it takes a long time to get to.
Yeah, it does. It does. But that blows me back to like 5 year old me, because I remember listening to it like, wow, this is like kind of haunting. Oh, mama.
It's just him in scream therapy. I want to hear the whole tapes. I want to hear all the outtakes. Put that to music. That is music to my ears. That man's suffering.
All right, Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Styx is like drinking on a Sunday. Like, Bears game starts, playing pack, you're gonna pop a few. Suddenly it's 10 p.m., you're knee-deep in Bushmills, and you got to work the next day. Yeah. Like, it's fun. It's fun to drink on a Sunday. Really? But when you got to work on Monday, you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Oh, man,
why did I do this?
It's like, what can I tell my boss? I can't come into work tomorrow. Fuck, I didn't make sub plan.
That's Styx. You know, Styx is like riding a moped. You know, nobody, you don't want anybody to see you doing it.
Yeah, it's fun until your friends see you.
Yeah, fun until your friends see you. Like drinking on a Sunday. Like it was, I can't tell you how many words to how many songs I knew. And some of these guilty pleasures, they didn't make the list, but.
Kirk, I listened to Mr. Roboto on my way home from school today. I knew every fucking song. I was this close to moving it from the most hated list onto my number one spot in this, because it was so much fun. Just singing Mr. Roboto with all the operatic fervor that yep. Dennis DeYoung had. Again, like I said earlier before, I was like, what a country this used to be. Like, that fucking song charted. Like in the, it's 1983.
Yeah.
That's Thriller. That's, you know, that's Prince. That's all of these things. And then like Roboto is like, oh, fuck, that's fucking awesome.
Well, you look at like the solo careers that these guys had. Dennis DeYoung had a solo career. It really wasn't much to write home about. I didn't even recognize his top played song.
Could tell you what it was.
Hodgson went off and did some solo stuff from Supertramp. Davies from Supertramp just stayed with Supertramp. Look at the Damn Yankees. That song was fucking huge.
I can't explain it. Yeah.
Ugh,
I can't.
So bad. It's so bad, and they are trying to be so hair.
I think it's Jack Blades that made it all come together.
Well, and it was a lot of well-known guys. It was Tommy Shaw. It was the Nuge. It was Jack Blades, and I think there was another guy in there. I don't remember who.
I don't know. Rob Trujillo. Before he joined Metallica. Oh, wouldn't that be fucking awesome? I can't explain the Styx success. It's like those five guys should never have been in a band together, but yet they were. And, you know, it wasn't like they were like had one off, like Guns N' Roses had like a one off album. Like they had several, you know, successful albums. You alluded to it before. There's four triple platinum albums in a row.
Like,
kind of makes its own gravy after that.
Right.
Like, why stop?
You don't even need to baste.
As much as Chewbacca wants the bitch, like, you're cashing checks, man.
Steve Perry or any of them?
Oh, no, it's Steve Perry, hands down. I can't stand Dennis DeYoung's voice.
You could put Steve Perry in any of these bands.
Oh, for sure.
They could sing every one of these. He could sing every one of these parts. Supertramp or Styx, he could cover it all. And I think I like Supertramp's voices better.
Yeah.
For that music, but I think you could arguably drop him in any of these vocal roles.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Are we going to add our new category for the year coming up?
Oh, shit. That's right. I forgot about it.
All right. Well, maybe you don't have any. So we're going to add. I'll add it.
Okay.
Like, we'll add it, right? Like, so we're the new category. It's really simple. It's like, what artifact would you want from this band? And it could be anything. It's just, it's yeah. not, It could be
like
anything.
For the Guns N' Roses episode, it could have been Slash's hat. That would have been an easy one.
Yeah, exactly. Or his 68 Fastback that he drives off a cliff. I'll take that.
I've got one.
So what artifact would you want from one of these bands, or both if you want to go, if you want to double dip your toe in the prog lake, go ahead. But go ahead. You got one? You want me to start?
Go ahead.
I want the Mr. Roboto face mask that he wears in the video.
That's also what I was thinking of, the face mask, because it actually wasn't a bad mask. I mean, it was a stupid song, but I mean, the effect for the time was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was stupid all around.
Yes.
Like, I hated it, but I want it.
All right, so here we go. I'll go with, give me the costume from the woman on the cover of Breakfast in America.
You want to wear it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's your new Halloween costume? Or just something so you...
No, just while I'm working around the house.
Okay. I think we're done here.
Oh, no.
I don't want this vision anymore. You need to burn it out of my brain.
We still have the MVP. And we're going to simplify this. I'm going to simplify it. I'm going to say the MVP is which band is better, or which band do you like better? And I'm going to go with Supertramp. I think they had fewer songs, fewer albums, but their lyrical content was a hell of a lot deeper. And I think their writing was a little more advanced. Now, Styx songwriting was what it was. It wasn't bad in some instances, but I'm going to give the MVP to Supertramp.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to stick with Supertramp too, because I don't value the other band.
All right, rankings.
No, I'm going to give it to their MVP. Whoever was on that clarinet, they didn't just do the work on one song. That whole fucking album, that clarinet's doing overtime work.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good wind instruments.
He had a smoke wagon going. Every song, that clarinet motherfucker brought it. So I'm going to give it, whoever that guy was, that's the guy. He's the MVP.
All right. Rankings, skill. Where do you put both of them at? You put them differently? I put them both at a 4. I think they actually had some chops. If you listen to the music, not
absolutely not.
The skill
Supertramp in 4.
What was being played? Yeah. Right? Tommy Shaw's a pretty good guitar player.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know that I'd call him an axeman, but he's a pretty good guitar player.
I think he's good, like a guitar, any guitar teacher is good.
Their vocal harmonies were good.
Guitar lessons from him. But that's about it. It's like a guitar teacher good.
He'd probably be happy to do that.
I'm sure he would. They say he's the nicest man in rock and roll. I find that hard to believe.
So what do you have, Matt?
I put Supertramp at a 4, and I put Styx at like a 2.5. They're a very average band.
Okay.
Middle of the road.
Image? They're both at a 2.
Come on. Supertramp actually has a better, I think, in my mind, that Supertramp's like a 2. But Styx, it's not Image, it's like the coolness factor. Even at their height, Styx wasn't cool.
No, Styx was never cool.
Because of that jackass and his tightly permed hair.
It was awful.
He didn't look like some riverboat gambler. That's what he looked like, a dealer. He had those fucking sleeves pulled up and he would play the piano. So he
looked like a chia pet.
Who the fuck is your stylist? Your mom? So no, Styx is a 1.
All right. Catalog? I would put Styx at a 2 and I'd put Supertramp at a... Let's go to the 2.75.
We're really splitting hairs here. I'm going to say both of them are 2.5s.
All right.
Yeah, and they're both 2.5s. So, I mean, there was not a lot of there. And the Styx, man, Styx had almost 17 albums.
They had a lot. Neither of...
Get fucked.
All right, here's a final question for you. Which band has more Grammys?
Oh. It can't be Styx. It's Supertramp.
Trick question. Neither of them have Grammys.
I was going to say...
Supertramp was nominated 4 times. Styx was nominated once.
All right, so
you won. You were right.
Wow, 4?
I don't know who was voting for that.
Where is that coming from?
All right. All right, Chanel, I hope you enjoyed this.
I hope you enjoyed it too.
It was a fun walk for me. I think it was fun for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a fucking blast. I mean, I came up with 6 songs. I think I would.
So we normally close our show with Late Night Bullfight, but because it's the holidays, I've got a new Christmas song for you, sir. The song is called Backdoor Santa, and it's by the...
this entails me dressing up as the Breakfast for America chick?
No, that's my costume. I won it. But it's by the Black Crowes.
All right.
Kind of funky. A little dirty, obviously. But hey, what do you say?
A little Southern Christmas.
Have a great holiday, folks.
Everybody enjoy your holiday season. I just wanna put something in your stocking for you. Yeah!